Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and we are getting closer to Christmas. And so I want to talk this week about four words that we typically think about a lot during Christmas. And I want to show what the Bible teaches about these words. The words are hope, peace, joy, and love. They are words that we have in our Christmas music. They are words that often make up the 4 weeks of Advent that lead up to Christmas. And they are just words that we should cherish and love. And so I hope to, in the next couple days, maybe deepen your understanding a little bit using God's Word in a way that will encourage you and help you to enjoy this Christmas season. So hope, peace, love, and joy. Why don't we start with the word love? I think love is probably the starting point of what Christmas is all about. And here I want to focus in. We could talk about our love for each other and so forth. But I think the main point of Christmas and love is God's love for us. And in fact, that is really where you should focus when you're talking about love, because we love others because he first loved us, is what the Bible says. In other words, you can't really talk about loving one another until you get a firm grasp of God's love for you. And Christmas is the display of God's love for the world. John 3:16, perhaps the most significant or well-known verse in all the Bible when it comes to summarizing the message of the entire Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." So we think of this verse when we think of the cross. Jesus gave his life. He went to Jerusalem knowing that he would be put to death. And this was a sacrifice to make payment for your sin and my sin. And so that was God's gift to us. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. But really, Christmas captures this verse very well. When John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave," we have to think of this giving not just at the cross, but it is the giving of Jesus to the world. It is that Jesus came to the world to live with us, to become a human being. Yes, that was necessary ultimately so that he could go to the cross and suffer in our place, pay our punishment for us. But the giving began when God sent Jesus, who was in heaven with the Father, in perfect relationship with the Father, in perfect love with the Father. They glorified one another for all eternity. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 17, verse 4 and 5, when he prays to God his Father, and he talks about how he has done everything on earth to bring glory to his Father, and then he prays, "Now you glorify me." And this is the kind of relationship, this perfect love, that God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, had with one another. And then God sends his Son. He sends his Son to this world to be born of Mary, to grow up with Mary and Joseph in a rather obscure town of Nazareth, after first being chased by King Herod in an attempt to put him to death. And so he enters into this world filled with all the same kind of problems we've experienced. Filled with people trying to kill him, filled with poverty, filled with the ups and downs of life, and experiencing hatred, experiencing enemies, the Romans who wanted to make life miserable for Jesus' family and his friends and neighbors, in the way that they taxed the people, in the way it was not a kind of, we complain about our government a lot. It's nothing like living under the occupation of the Roman government. And so Jesus experienced all the kinds of problems that we experienced. This was part of God giving him to earth. This was how God loved us. And so Christmas is a time to think about God's love for us. And again, this is the foundation for how we can then see transformation in our life, so that we can experience peace in our life, so that we can really know what it is to have hope in our life, so that we can have joy in our life. So I'm going to talk about those things later. Today I'm focusing in on love, because I think that's really the starting point. I want to read, there's so many verses I could read, but I'm going to focus in on a couple verses from Ephesians chapter 3. Catch this, Paul is writing And he says in verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Okay, here is Paul, and he's praying for God the Father to strengthen you and to do it with power through his Spirit. And that is my prayer for you this morning, that God would come and strengthen you in power through his Spirit. Here's how he does that, okay? That's not just this mysterious, yeah, I hope the Holy Spirit strengthens me in power. You know, but what does that mean? How does that happen? What does that look like? How would you know? Well, Paul's going to continue, and it has everything to do with love. It says in verse 18, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now that's a powerful verse. There's a lot there. Let me unpack it, go through it a little bit more slowly. So Paul is praying that we may be strengthened through the power from his, or through his Spirit. And then he says what will happen. What does this look like? He says that it means to be rooted and established in love. The more you are rooted and established in love, the more power you will have through the Spirit to do all things through Christ who strengthens you, to be able to live the Christian life, to be able to come to Jesus and experience the rest he promises, to be prosperous and successful as God promises Joshua in Joshua 1:8. And so it is important to be rooted and established in love. So what does that mean? How can I be rooted and established in love? Well, it's that you grasp, this is what verse 18 says, grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. The more you understand how great Christ's love is for you, the more power you will have in your life through the Holy Spirit to do all the things that God has called you to do in your life, whether that's being a parent, being an employer, whether that's enduring sickness, enduring financial trials, whatever it is God has called you to do, he's put you there for a purpose. He wants to use those situations and circumstances to help you achieve ultimately what should be your goal in life, which is to bring glory to him. And he wants you, therefore, to use that to fill you with joy and peace and hope. And it starts with, and the foundation for that is having this firm understanding of how great Christ's love is for you. And that understanding is not something that you can just read a Bible verse, hear a sermon on, and then think, okay, now I know how much Jesus loves me. That's a continual battle. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times where you lose sight of how great Jesus' love is for you, and you need to renew your mind. You need to remember again, wow, Jesus came to earth and bled and died on a cross because he loves me. And it's as you think about that, as you focus on that, as you are reminded of that truth, as you think of the scriptures that teach this, that you now have power, thinking of how God's love is for you, even while you are yet a sinner, to now be filled up so that you can give to others, so that you can love others. And so that's one of the things Christmas should do every year, is it's a time to focus in on the love of Christ. The fact that God loves us so much, he sent Christ to us to live here for us, to teach us, to guide us, and ultimately to die for us. Well, I hope you remember that as we go through the Christmas season. I'll be talking a little bit more about love, but then moving on to hope, peace, and joy throughout the rest of this week. I'd encourage you to check out the Facebook page, Trust the Bible. I've still got a ongoing contest there if you sign up to win a free study Bible for the new year, and love to see you join that group, Trust the Bible. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.